The Eddie B. Sit edition and audio series of the Talmud Bavli.
Masechet Rosh Hashanah. Masechet Rosh Hashanah has been sponsored by Mr. Sawley and Cheryl Mizrahi. Hashem Aleihem Yihyu for the Hatzlacha of both of their families, for Be'ezat Hashem, health, happiness, Parnasa, continued success, and of course, much nachat and pleasure from their children. Yiratzon, in the zechut of their dedication to the Masechet Rosh Hashanah, they will be zoche for good judgment, they will be zoche for good beracha and mazal in all their endeavors. Amen. Daf Chav Zayin. Today's daf is being studied Le'ilu Nishmat Avraham Ben Esther Ruach Hashem Tenihenu Began Eden. Amen. Today's daf is being studied Le'ilu Nishmat Amiruhemet Adel Bat Rosa Ruach Hashem Tenihenu Began Eden. Amen. Today's daf is being studied Le'fuas Shelema Eliyahu Hayim Ben Shafia Sophia and Le'fuas Shelema Yafa Bat Sarah. Enna refana lahem, enna refana lahem, enna refana urfat al-nefesh, urfat al-guf, urfatam kiruma labo v'chen yirasu v'romar, amen. We begin today's daf on Chav Zayin Amud Rishon, right on the top line. Upiv mitzupe zahav. We said that in the Beit HaMikdash, the shofar that used to blow on Rosh Hashanah, its mouth was plated with gold. So comes the Gemara and says, "Vehatanya." We learned in a Braita, "Sipahu zahav." If they would plate the shofar with gold, "Bimkom hanachat piv," in the place where he places his mouth, "Pasul." "Shelo bimkom hanachat piv," kasher. So we have a Braita that clearly says that if you place the gold in the place where the one that's blowing it puts his mouth, so it's pasul. At this point, we're assuming that when the Mishnah said you put it on the piv of the shofar is mashma on the lip, exactly where the person blows the shofar, and therefore it's considered a hatzitza. It's considered interference. So how can you say that it's kasher in the Mishnah? So it comes again on it. Amar beyaki tenan namim nitin shelo bimkom hanachat pe tenan. So you have to say that when it said that you put it on the piv of the shofar, it doesn't mean the actual place where he puts his mouthpiece. It's the next piece lower. The piece right after, the part of the shofar, right after his mouth. So it's not actually interfering between the shofar and his mouth. That's how you have to answer. Right, it's down the cross section of the shofar. The way he says it is the narrowest revealed part of the shofar. Right, which means the revealed part. He has his mouth on the top. So the narrowest part that's revealed after that, that would be called piv of the shofar, and that part was plated with gold. Comes the Gemara and continues, Ushte hasoserot min asnadim. You had two hasoserot, trumpets we'll call them, that were on his sides. Meaning they had altogether three horns on Rosh Hashanah and the Beit HaMikdash. You had the shofar in the middle, and one hasoserot to the right and one to the left. So the Gemara is v'trekale mi mishtamaeh. So what are you talking about? That means they're all blowing simultaneously. Are you able to hear two sounds simultaneously? When you have the trumpet sound and you have the shofar sound, are you able to hear these sounds simultaneously? Now, according to the Ritban, well, that's the way we'll understand this sugya over here. He understands that. According to when you hear two sounds, you can't even hear any of them, which means both sounds are become difficult. It's not that you're able to hear one sound over another. Okay, so that's the way that it understands. It's not the pshat that you could focus in on one sound over another. Can't distinguish between either of the sounds. So therefore, you didn't hear the hasosrot sound, nor did you hear the shofar sound. Right, so that's the Gemara's question. How could you tell me that that you're telling me that you're going to blow the chasusot and the shofar together. That Tanyan, the Gemara proves this concept. We have a brayta. Zachor v'shamor b'dibur echad ne'emar. When God gave the Ten Commandments, so it says the Jewish people heard from God, zachor v'shamor, that was said b'dibur echad in one word. Now, how's that possible? Masha'en ha'pe yecholad ha'daber. Which means a normal mouth, you cannot say four syllables in one syllable or in two syllables, and then it's sounding zachor and shamor coming out in one speech. Ve'en ha'ozen yecholad l'shmoa. Nor can the ear process this. You can't hear two words simultaneously and hear it as one, because terekaleh lo mishtamareh. So therefore you see over here clearly that two sounds, the zachor and shamor, came out simultaneously, and you heard it, it was audible. You were able to make sense of it. What do you mean? Well, obviously we know that was a miracle, but the point is that out of this miracle, it's not normally terekaleh lo mishtamareh. They're not asking on the Kadosh Baruch Hu. We're not going to do anything he wants. But they're trying to show that was one of the miracles that took place at Har Sinai. That Zakov Shamor b'dibur ahad ma'she'en ha'ozen yechola l'shmoa. That normally, the normal ear cannot process two sounds simultaneously. So the Gemara says, lekach ma'arich b'shofar. Well, the Mishnah took care of that. That's why the shofar would be long after the Hasotrot stopped. So therefore, the Hatzotzot and the Shofar blow together. At that point, you're really not, you'll say anything because you can't hear. Then the Hatzotzot would stop, and the Shofar would continue to blast, and you'd be Yotzeh with that elongated blast of the Shofar. Now, mind you, you're only hearing the end of the sound, right? You're not hearing the beginning of the sound. So the Gemara says, the Memra, which means from here we can learn the Chishama Sof Tekiah Belo Techilat Tekiah Yatzah. So the mayor, you see that so long as you hear the shi'ur of a tiki'ah, even though you're only hearing soft tiki'ah, right, even though you didn't hear the beginning of the tiki'ah, yatzah. Now if that's true, umemela tehilat tiki'ah below soft tiki'ah yatzah. So to the other way, which is if you heard the tehilat tiki'ah, the shi'ur, and you didn't hear soft tiki'ah, you'll also be yosef, which means bottom line, once you tell me you don't have to hear the beginning and the end, it doesn't matter which part you hear, whether you're just the beginning, the shiur, and you don't hear the ending of it, or the ending of it without the beginning. Mm-hmm. And that's why it's telling me, because in this case over here, when I heard the three sounds, the two sounds, the hasosrot and the shofar, right, that doesn't count as anything. I don't hear anything at that point. Then the shofar at the end elongates its sound a little, so I hear the end of the tekiah of the shofar, and it's saying what? Yotzeh. So therefore you see, sof tekiah below tehilat tekiah, Yotzeh. So the Gemara challenges this question. The Gemara said, or premise, Tashema, Taka Barishona. Now let's just give the Hakdama over here. The way we blow the Tiki'ot, we blow a set in Malchuyot, Zikronot, and Shofarot. Let's say in Malchuyot, they would blow Tiki'ah, Tiru'ah, Tiki'ah. Right? Every Tiru'ah is preceded by Tiki'ah and followed by a Tiki'ah. So the case of it we're going to discuss is, he blew the first Tiki'ah in Malchuyot. Then he blew the Tiru'ah. The Tiki'ah, after the Tiru'ah, he did it long. And he wanted it to count for the last Tiki'ah of Malchuyot and the first Tiki'ah of Zichronot. So the Gemara says, Taka Barishona. He blew the first Tiki'ah. That's, you blow it normally. Umashach b'shiniyah kishtayim. And he lasted the second Tiki'ah after the Tiru'ah, the length of two Tiki'ot. Double the size, as two. And biyado ela ahat. So it says it only counts as one. Which means you only get it for the last tiki'ah of the first set. The Gemara says, Amai tisalek le betarte. Which means according to what we're saying over here, it should count as two. Look at Meshi. Taka berishona bifshuta shelifnei ha'teru'ah. But you blew the first one, the pishutah. Another way of saying the tikiah is a pishutah, because it's a straight sound. Mm-hmm. You blew the first tikiah normally, before the teruah. Umashach b'shniyah kishtayim l'fishayah sadik l'tkoa kan bit tikiot l'tzufot. The hat pishutah l'achariyah d'malchuyot. The hat pishutah l'faneah d'zichronot. Now, if you're telling me that you don't have to hear tzof and tehillah, so therefore, meaning you don't have to hear the beginning and the end, so therefore, let this be considered two. Which means you heard the beginning of the tiki'ah, let it count for the first set, and then the end of the tikiyah, let it count for the second set. From the fact that you're saying you can't do that, so you see, it seems that you have to hear the beginning and the end of the sound. You can't use the beginning of the tikiyah for one and the soft tikiyah for another. The Gemara says, no, there's no proof in this case. You can't split a tikiyah in half. Which means, so here you have no proof. I mean, to take one tikiyah and split the beginning and the end of it, you can't do that. But in our case, it's different. Our case is talking about where it's one tikiyah. You're not splitting it. You just heard the end of the tikiyah when they elongated it after the Hatzotzot finished. So you're catching the end of the tikiyah. I'm not splitting a tikiyah into two different obligations. So therefore, you have no proof. That's the Gemara's point. You can't split a tikiyah into two. Comes the Gemara and says, Tashema, Hatokeya Lito Chabor. Actually, Mishnah coming up. A person blows the shofar into a pit. Oleto Chedut. Dut they refer to as a cistern. That's an above ground structure. Oleto Apitas. That's into a large barrel. So the Gemara says, "Im kol shofar shama yasa." If you heard the sound of the shofar without an echo, because when you blow into these things, there's an echo. So if you're able to hear the first sound, which is the ikar, the shofar, yatsa. V'im kol havaraz shama lo yatsa. But if you heard the echo, is the second sound that comes out, lo yatsa. So give us amay lipug petchilat tikiyah mekamed le'arbeb kala. What do you mean? Let him be yotze with the beginning before the echo comes. He might not be able to hear the whole full tikiyah, but until the echo comes, he'll be able to hear the beginning of the tikiyah, and then it'll be yotzei with that. If you're telling me that tihilat tikiyah is worth something, so then how come in this case over here, tell me you're not yotzei? Because obviously, you're not hearing the full tikiyah. By the time the end of the tikiyah comes around, the echo came in already. And therefore, you're not yotzei. Oh, so now we have to go back to explain what's the case of the Mishnah. How are you telling me that what? They're blowing it simultaneously. And don't tell me that that's why the shofar is elongated. It's not going to help you. Because that's only a soft tikiyah. And soft tikiyah is no good. You need to hear tihilat tikiyah as well as soft tikiyah. And the proof of the pudding is, because we just said the case of the bor. In the board case, we say that you're not yotzei if you hear the echo. Why? Because even though you heard the beginning of the tikiyah, you didn't hear soft tikiyah. Because by the time the soft tikiyah came around, the echo came in, so it's mixed in. So the question is, how are you yotzei in the Mishnah? Ela tarte kale mechad gavra lo mishtamei. I'm going to give the rule now. Two sounds from one person cannot be heard. However, mitre gabre mishtame, but if it's two sounds from two different people, it can be heard. Which means, like the case of Zachor v'Shamor, that was miraculous because it was from one sound, one person, so to speak. And what? Even though it was from one person, a miracle happened that normally you can't hear two voices simultaneously. By Zachor v'Shamor, you did. However, by two different people that are talking simultaneously, or the noise is coming simultaneously, two different people, it's possible to process, it's possible to discern. So comes the Gemara and says, Umitre. Now again, according to the Ritba, we could say it's enough to discern one of the sounds, which means the ikar sound that you have to hear. In this case, it's going to be the shofar. And we're going to prove that when you hear from two voices simultaneously, it is possible to discern. Is it possible? Can you really discern from two people? That, Tanya, we learned in the Braita. But Torah, when it comes to reading the Torah, ahat kore, right? There's one reader, v'ahat mitargim. And of course, then you have one that translates it. In the olden days, you used to read the Sefer Torah, and then subsequently translated into Aramaic. They call that a miturgeman. Ubilvad, so long as shelo yeh ehad kore, That's to read the emendation of the Masoret Tashas. So long as you don't have one reader with two interpreters. So what do you see over here? That if two interpreters are going to interpret simultaneously, even though it's from two different people, so your rule that says by two different people it's still discernible, it's not so. Because it's clearly saying that you should not have two mitargimim. Certainly you shouldn't have two kodim also. The Gemara is just making its point on the mitargimim. If you want to compare it to the case of the sefa of that Mishnah Megillah. Bahalel u'bamegillah, when it comes to reading the Hallel, the recitation of Hallel, or the reading of the Megillah, afilu asara korin. Even if 10 people are saying the Hallel simultaneously, and there's another person listening, he wants to be Yotze, or let's say 10 people are reading Megillat Esther simultaneously, and one guy's listening to them to be Yotze, the Mishnah says, it's okay. What's the logic? Alma kevan de habib yaiv da'te. Which means since it's new to him, meaning the Megillah is read once a year, and the Hallel is also read from time to time, so since it's a novelty, he pays attention to it, even if there's more than one person reading. Oh, so too, Achadamek, Van de Habib, Yaiv Da'te, Veshama. So too, since the shofar is a novelty, and it's being blown by two different people, you have the Hasosrot working and the shofar work. If he pays attention, he will hear Tehillat Tekiah as well as Sof Tekiah. So again, the basic principle of the Gemara is what? Two people, where it's Chaviv, a person is able to discern and hear what he has there, just like the Hallel, just like the Megillah, now including Shofar as well. If that's the case, the Gemara says, Ela lama ma'arich b'shofar. So what do you have to be ma'arich b'shofar? If you're able to discern it when they're blowing with the Hatzotzerot, what's the purpose to extend the Shofar? Gemara answers, Lida shemitzvat hayom b'shofar. Just so the people will know that the mitzvah of the day is indeed with the Shofar and not the Hatzotzerot. U'betaniyot b'shel zecharim kifufim. We said on fast days, they would blow the horn of Zachar, a male that was kafuf. Kafuf meaning it is bent. Upiv mitzupe kesef. And it was plated with silver. So comes the Gemara and says, my shina hatam de zahav. Why by Rosh Hashanah you plate the shofar with gold? Umay shina hacha de kesef. By taniyot you do it with silver. So the Gemara gives two answers. Kol kenufya de kesefu. Anytime you're blowing an instrument in order to gather the people, so the metal of choice over there is silver. How do you know? Tichtiv aselecha shete hasoserot kesef. And therefore the purpose of blowing the horns on Rosh Hashanah Ta'anit is in order to gather the people, in order to make tefillah, in order to pray. Is that? Correct. So therefore, and what's the source of this? The source is the Hasosrot that Moshe Rabbeinu would blow in order to gather the people. So just like they were made out of kesef, so the Hasosrot and the shofar that's used on Taniyot is also plated in silver. Another answer. HaTorah Hasa Al Mamonam Shel Yisrael. The Torah has mercy or concern over the money of Israel. Which means, why do you have to spend on gold? Hachamim lenient, okay, lose, use silver. Now, it should be noted that where do we see this principle of Torah's Hasal Mamanam Shei Yisrael? In the case of the Tzara'at Abayit. Somebody comes down with Tzara'at on the walls of his house, so the Goyen comes along and says, remove all the vessels out of the house. Now, let's analyze exactly which vessels we're talking about. If it's metal vessels, so what are we worried about? That the Kohen is going to render the house Tameh, and then all the Kelim in the house are going to become Tameh. Well, metal vessels are going to dip in the mikveh. So therefore, he's really not causing a loss by the metal vessels. The real vessels that he's concerned about is the pottery vessels. Because a pottery vessel that becomes Tameh, Taharatan, Shaviratam. The only way to purify them is to break them. So therefore, you see the Torah says, remove all the vessels, specifically the earthenware vessels. So in the event that we make the house Tameh, you'll save the vessels. Now, how much is earthenware vessels? It's nothing. It's cheap. And still what? The Torah is concerned about the money of Klal Yisrael. So therefore, similarly, when it comes to the Taniyot, don't use gold. Let you get off with a cheaper amount, use silver. So the Gemara says, "Atam namen abid de kesef." So the Rosh Hashanah should also use kesef. If Torah is concerned about the money of Klal Yisrael, so plate the shofar with silver on Rosh Hashanah. Gemara says, "Afidu acher kevod yom tov adif." Still, the kavod of Yom Tov Rosh Hashanah overrides the monetary concern, and therefore you should use gold on Rosh Hashanah. Comes the Gemara and says, "Rappapa bar Shemuel savar lemeivad uvda kematnitin." Rappapa bar Shemuel wanted to follow our Mishnah, meaning on Rosh Hashanah he wanted to use two hasoserot and a shofar. He wasn't in the Beit HaMikdash, meaning in this synagogue. He wanted to follow the Mishnah, two hasoserot and a shofar. Amale Rava lo amru ela b'mikdash. No, this din of the hasoserot and a shofar is only said in the Beit HaMikdash. Tanya nameyache, b'med devarim amurim b'mikdash. When is this said? Dafka in the Mikdash. Avav b'gvulin, but outside the Beit HaMikdash, makom sheyesh hasoserot and shofar. Meaning on a ta'anit, that the ikar is hasoserot, you don't use a shofar. Makom sheyesh shofar in hasoserot. In a place where the ikar is a shofar, meaning Rosh Hashanah, so you do not use hasoserot. V'chein in hig Rabbi Halafta b'sipuri. And that was the menhag of Rabbi Halafta in Sipuri, that what? That he followed our Mishnah, that she says, with shofar and hasoserot, which means he did both. Rabbi Hananya ben Tarajon b'Sichni, and Rabbi Hananya ben Tarajon in Sichni also followed a Mishnah to do hasosrot and shofar. Uksheba davar etzel hakamim, when the item came up in front of the rabbis, amru lo ayu noagin ken ela b'sha'arei mizrach ubar habayit bilvad, which means that she said this is one place, sha'arei mizrach, the eastern gate on the Temple Mount, which means they told them that we don't do this outside the Beit HaMikdash, and therefore you should not use hasoserot on Rosh Hashanah, nor should you use shofarot on taniyot. Amar abba v'tim rabbi Yoshua ben Levi me'ekera, where's the source for this? דכתיב בחסוסרות וכל שופר הריעו לפני המלך השם, לפני המלך השם מודבעין לחסוסרות וכל שופר, אבל בעלמא לא, which means when it says that you blow the שופר לחסוסרות, it says הריעו לפני המלך in front of השם על נהר הבית, לבית המקדש. However, outside the Beit HaMikdash you only use שופר or חסוסרות, but the pasuk says that בחסוסרות וכל שופר, when do you use the חסוסרות and the shofar? Dafka lefnei ha-melech Hashem. So that's the conclusion of that piece, that what? You only use it in the bed. Hamikdash. Comes the Gemara and continues. Shave ha-yovel le-Rosh Hashanah le-tqi'ah ve-le-berachot. We said that what? Rosh Hashanah is similar to the yovel of Yom Kippur, 50th year of Yom Kippur, in the sense of berachot, which means just like on Rosh Hashanah, in the Musaf, you had 9 berachot, melkuyot, zikronot, and shofarot, so too on yovel of the 50th year, Yom Kippur, you would also add in the Musaf, melkuyot, zikronot, and shofarot. That's what the Gemara is saying, it's shaveh le-berachot. So the Gemara says, "Abba Rav Shmuel Bar Yitzchak, keman matzlina neidana ze hayom tehilat ma'asecha, zikaron neyom rishon." In the Tefillah Musaf, one of the pesukim that we say is, "Ze hayom tehilat ma'asecha." This is the beginning day of your creation, zikaron neyom rishon, a commemoration of the first day, which implies that Rosh Hashanah is the day that Adam Rishon was created, which is we're commemorating. Zikaron leyom rishon tehilat ma'asecha, the beginning of your creation. Now, if that pasuk finds itself in the tefillah of Rosh Hashanah, who is that going like? Keman, can it be the Ezer? It's got to be going like the Bili Ezer. De amar b'tishri nivra olam. Because the Bili Ezer, if you remember, we learned in the earlier perek, first perek, that the Bili Ezer held that the world was created on Aleph Tishri. Now, when we say the world, we mean Adam. That means the world was created on the 25th of Elul. The sixth day of creation was Erev Shabbat, which was Aleph Tishri. And therefore it makes sense in the Tefillah, we say, Zeh Ayom, Te'alat Ma'asecha. Mativ Ravina. So Ravina asks a question. Shaveh Yovel Rerosh Hashanah Litki'ah V'Leberachot. Our Mishnah said that what? You say the Berachot, The same berachot you say on Rosh Hashanah, you say on Yom Kippur. Ve'aika ze ayom te'alat ma'asecha zekaron le'yom rishon, de'berosh Hashanah ita, u'biyobel leta. So Rav Inaz, what are you talking about? I understand how you can say zekronot on Rosh Hashanah, you can say ze ayom te'alat ma'asecha. But how can the Mishnah say that you say that same pasuk on Yom Kippur of Yovel? It's not the day of creation. Yom Kippur is the day that God created the world. So how can the Mishnah connect them? Ela, you have to say, this is the way Tosafot understands, that Lavrina says that that's not the meaning of the Pasuk, Zayom Tilat Ma'asecha. Zayom Tilat Ma'asecha, this is the day where you begin to judge man on his deeds. And therefore, on Yom Kippur, you can also say that because it's also part of the process of judgment. Which means, according to Rav Inah, the Mishnah makes sense. I have no problem. I learned Zayom Tilat Ma'asecha to mean what? Not this is the day where Adam was created. Because if you're going to say this is the day that Adam was created, then how are you going to put it on Yom Kippur of Yovel? It doesn't make sense, that pasuk. But according to you, you want to tell me it's going to be Eliezer. Could it be Eliezer that says Zayom Tilat Ma'asecha is Tishri? What's it got? Alf Tishri, what's it got to do with Kippur? So the Gemara says, according to the Eliezer, you have to answer. Kiketani ashara. You have to say it's going on the rest of the stuff, which means the rest of the berachot. Bar that pasuk. Which means, you're right, on Rosh Hashanah you say the three berachot. And you add Zayom Tilat Ma'asecha, like Rabbi Eliezer. On Yom Kippur, you also do the three berachot, but without that pasuk, Zayom Tilat Ma'asecha. So it comes out according to this, you have a great machlok between the B and the Eliezer, and the way of Einad understand. According to the Eliezer, no, Zayom Tilat Ma'asecha is Ma'aseh Bereshit, the day that Adam is created, and therefore you would say Roshan, you skip it on Kippur. Rav Inah says no. Rav Inah says Zayom Tilat Ma'aseh is talking about the day of the beginning of the judgment, and therefore you could say it on Rosh Hashanah as well as Kippur of the Yovel. Comes again, what on says another version. Rav Shisha Bered Rav Idi Matni Achi has a different version. Amar Rav Shmuel Bar Yitzhak Had Itnan Shaveh Hayovel Rosh Hashanah L'Tkiyah V'Leberachot Keman De'lo K'Rabbi Eliezer. It cannot be going like Rabbi Eliezer, because you're saying Zayom Tilat Ma'asecha is going on both. Now if it's going to Rabbi Eliezer, that's referred to the creation of man. The creation of man was not on Yom Kippur, so you can't say it's Shaveh. So you have to say no, the Mishnah can even be going like the Bili Ezer, and our Mishnah is referring to the rest of the blessings without that pasuk. That ends that subject. Comes the next Mishnah. Now we go and discuss different physical defects that can disqualify the shofar. And we begin. Shofar shenizdak. Literally a shofar that split. Vidbeku. And you joined the halves. Okay? Now let's understand what exactly is taking place over here. The Rashi's understood that the shofar split along its entire length. On both sides. So you have a shofar that's actually split in half according to the length, and if we have to put it together, as she said, you're putting it together with glue. Okay? That's the first. Now she says that actually. She's the Avilek Eshte Shofarot. That the reason why it's pasul is because it's considered like two shofarot. Even after you put the glue and you attach it, it's considered like two shofarot, two separate pieces, and therefore you're not yosef. So that is the first statement. The next case of the Mishnah, Dibek Shibre Shofarot. If a person attached or joined the broken pieces of different shofarot to form one shofar, again, Pasul. And the reason why it's going to be Pasul, again, because it is made up of different parts. Now let's understand these issues over here. Let's go and understand over here. In this case, one or more shofars were broken in the width. And therefore, what you're doing is, you're making a shofar from other shofarot, you're connecting like the rings mm-hmm. of the shofar next to each other. And therefore, what's happening is, the sound is going through many different shofarot in order to come together, many tears in the shofar, and therefore that's going to be pasul as well. Right? And the ring-like pieces were then joined to create one composite shofar. So the shofar is disqualified again because it's considered two or more shofarot. So again, both in the first case where you're splitting it in the lengthwise and you're putting it together and you glue it, pasul. The second case, it's broken widthwise, and you just, you know, connected like rings of the shofar next to each other. So it's also considered shtei shofarot, and it was going to be unfit and pasul. Next case, nikav. That the shofar was punctured, meaning had a hole. Ustamo, and you sealed up the hole. Im me'akev et ha-tekiah pasul, which means if the sealing hinders the sound, which means it changes the sound of the shofar than what it was. Because the shofar had a certain sound. Now you had, let's say, the hole in it. If it could still make a sound, the shofar is kashir. However, now that you are sotem it, you put a piece, so you clogged it up, you plugged it up, if it's going to change the sound, so that already is pasul. Ve'im lav kashir. If not, it's going to be kashir. So he says over here, there's different approaches over here to explain over here. One is the hole hindered the shofar sound, that is the hole weakened the sound. And the seal restored it partially or completely. Although the shofar would have been fit, for it had not been sealed, because it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what sound you have, even if it was weak. However, restoring the sound is nevertheless a substantial accomplishment. Accordingly, the seal is not nullified and the shofar is disqualified. According to that opinion, it's mahmir. It's saying, once the hole is there and the sound changes, and you put the seal, and the seal brings it back to its original sound, that means the seal is significant. And once the seal is significant, it's not batel to the shofar, and therefore it's considered a hatitzat to the sound. However, the majority of the Rishonim reject this approach, and they say that the seal is a hindrance. That means if it was put improperly, and you're able to get the original sound, that's fine. Then it is batel to the shofar. The only time the seal is a problem is when you put it back and you get a different sound. Then already that means the seal is considered a hatzitza, and therefore the shofar is not considered blowing from the shofar. You have a foreign piece. I will discuss exactly what type of seal, but I will discuss what type of seal we're talking about that you added to the shofar. So we'll take that approach. Again, let's understand that approach again. You have a shofar, it has a hole in it. If you don't fix it, it's kashir. So long as you can make a sound, I don't care what the sound is. It weakens it, makes it lower or higher, it's kashir. All the sounds of a shofar are kashir. The guy came along and plugged it up with a seal. Oh, so now what this seal did over here is, it changed the sound of what it was originally. So now already you have an item, a foreign substance in the shofar, as we're going to learn, and therefore that's considered a hatitza in the sound, and therefore it's not going to be kashir. However, if you sealed it up and the original sound came back, so that piece is considered batel to the shofar, and therefore it's going to be kashir. We will wait for the Gemara to see exactly how big the seal was, and what exactly it was made out of. Now we go to the next case of the Mishnah. Hatokeya letoch habor. Right? A person blows the shofar into a pit. Now, why would a person blow the shofar into a pit? Sort of, Haigaon explains, we're talking about over here a time where the Goyim made gezerot that we cannot blow shofar in the synagogues or in public places because they made a gezerah against the religion. So therefore they needed to blow the shofar in a hidden place. So they would go in the shofar, like so the sound would go down, so they would do it in hiding, so they wouldn't get caught. In any event, the case that's a cistern that's an above ground cistern, or letoch pitas, that we said is a large barrel. So the deen is like this: im kol shofar shama, if he heard the sound of the shofar, meaning without the echo, yatsa. But if he heard the sound of the shofar's echo, lo yatzai, did not fulfill his obligation. Now the Mefarshim over here learn as well that it depends where the person is. If the person is blowing in the board itself, so then he's Yotze, because he's going to hear the actual sound of the shofar. However, if he's outside of the board, then he's going to hear the echo. So really it depends where he is. If he's inside, he's Yotze, because basically there is no echo inside. The echo is only heard outside. However, if he's outside and he hears the sound, so then he's going to hear the echo, and therefore he's not going to be Yotze. So that's what it means over here. Hatokel etochabor im kol shofar shama, which means if he's inside, yatzav. Im kol avaraz shama, if he's outside, lo yatzav. And we will wait for the Gemara. The Gemara will explain this as well. Vechen mishaya over achore bet knesset. Similarly, a person was walking or passing behind the synagogue. Or let's say his house is next to the Beit HaKnesset. The Shama called Shofar. And he, let's say, heard from the synagogue, they're blowing the Shofar. Or called Megillah. Or let's say it was Purim. And he hears them reading the Megillat Esther. Im kiven lebo yasa. Fiyad kavana is yotze. Ve'im lav lo yatsa. Now, what does this mean, if he had kavana or not? So now there's two ways of understanding this Mishnah. Either we're going according to the opinion that says mitzvot tzirichot kavana, that when you fulfill a mitzvah you have to have kavana to be yotzei the mitzvah. So it's saying he's walking by the shul, he hears the sound, im kiven libo latzet, because we hold mitzvot tzirichot kavana, yatza. Im lo kiven libo, lo yatza. Now, I'll come to, no, it's giving you a normal case where a person would not have kavana. In the shul, the guy's in the shul, well, that's what he came to shul for. Here, the hadush is when the guy's walking down the street, could be in the synagogue, it's automatic. Here, we're telling you, since it's not, you're outside, you have to have kavana, positive kavana to be yotze. Now, according to the other shittot that say mitzvot, enam sirichot kavana, so explanation is over here, what it means, im kiven libo, to hear. Because you have to hear every word of the Megillah, and you have to hear the sounds of the Shofar. This guy happens to be walking, so therefore, you know, we have to make sure kiven libo, that he paid attention, not to be yotze de mitzvah, because you don't need kavana to be yotze de mitzvah, but he had kavana at least to know that he heard all the sounds and all the words. And the Gemara says, Afapi shezeh shama, vezeh shama, which comes out, even though you have two people that heard the same Shofar, or two people heard the same Megillah, ze chiven libo veze lo chiven libo, which means all the difference. The guy who had kavana is yotze, and the guy who doesn't have kavana is not yotze. That makes all the difference in the world. Now, of course, this last part of the Mishnah is seemingly unnecessary. We'll have to see exactly what that's coming to teach us. Furthermore, the Mefarshim question, what is this vechen? Vechen usually means similarly, as if there's a connection between this case and the case that we discussed before. Mm-hmm. The case before, it was the pit. What's the connection between a guy blowing the shofar in a pit and a case of a guy walking by a shul? So the Mefarshim want to explain that the only vechen, if you can have this girsa, is that there are two cases that have variables. Which means, in the first case, if you were in the bor, yotze. If you were out of the bor, lo yatza. So too in the shul. Im kiven libo yatza. Im lo kiven libo lo yatza. So the similarly is that there's a case where it depends when you are yotze and when you are not yotze. It's not conclusive. It depends on the variables. Comes the Gemara. Tanu Rabbanan, we have a braita. Aruch v'kitzero kasher. If a shofar was long, and the fellow shortened it, meaning he severed either end of the shofar. Of course, you have a tefach left over. The minimum shiur of a shofar is a tefach. So long as he left the tefach shiur, it's kasher. Okay, it's still fit. Next case, girdo, he scraped it, ve'imido al gildo, and you just left the thin skeleton of the shofar, kasher, whether you scraped it from the outside, or you scraped it from the inside, so long as you still have a thin layer of shofar left, The shofar is kasher. Tzipau zahav bimkom anachat peh. He plated it with gold in the place where his mouth rests. So in that case, it's going to be pasul. Shelo bimkom anachat peh kasher. So we can explain it like we explained it above, which means if he has the gold on the place where his mouth rests, so that's already pasul, because it's going to be a hatita between his mouth and the shofar. However, shalom koma nachat peh is a little down after his mouth touches the shofar, the next area. So you have a plating over there, so it's going to be kesher. You have to say that that gold is insignificant, it's not going to cause a change in the sound of the shofar in order for it to be kesher. Comes the Gemara and continues. Tzipau zahav mibifnim. If let's say you plated the shofar with gold on the inside, pasul. So that's going to be unfit, obviously, because it's the gold plating that's producing the sound and not the shofar. Mibachutz. If you put the gold plating on the outside, if the sound changed from the way it was before it was plated, pasul. Ve'imlav kasher. Which means, even if the plating that it bas has improved the sound, doesn't matter, it's going to be pasul. Comes the next case. Nikav ustamo. So we said, if let's say the shofar became punctured and you sealed it, if the sealing hinders the blowing, pasul. So the way we explained it till now is that if it causes the sound to change from what it was. Okay, next case. But if the sound is restored, it goes back to what it was, so we learn that it is kashir. Natan shofar betok shofar. Person put a shofar within a shofar. Okay? Im kol pinimi shama. If he heard the sound of the inner shofar, yatsa. Which means the inner shofar protrudes on both sides. The place where he can blow it and the place where the sound comes out protrudes on the beginning of it and on the end, both ends. So therefore, he's putting his mouth on the inner shofar, so there's no problem. The sound is going through the inner shofar, and therefore, he's yotze. Ve'im kol chitzon shama. But if he heard the sound of the outer shofar, lo yatsa. Which means, in this case, the mouthpiece of the inner shofar remained inside the narrow end of the outer shofar. So therefore he blew only on the outer one, and therefore he wants to say that the walls of the inner shofar are going to interfere. They're going to be considered a hatitza. Again, in the case where loyat say of the inner shofar, that's inside the outer shofar obviously, but it's not protruding. And therefore when you blow on the outer shofar, even though the sound comes out, but it's going to be interfered by the shofar that's inside. The walls of that shofar is going to be considered a hatitza, and therefore not going to be yotze. Comes the Gemara now and says, "Abraita tanu rabbanan girdo." If you scraped the shofar, ben mibifnim, ben mibachutz kasher, girdo ve'amido al gildo kasher. Which means, so long as you left the thin layer, so therefore it is going to be kasher. Hiniach shofar betok shofar. Similar cases that we had. You put a shofar within a shofar. Im kod pinimi yatsa. I'm sorry. Im kod pinimi shama yatsa. Which means, if you heard the inside, that means the inside one was protruding on both sides. So there was no hatitza yatsa. Im kod chitzon shama lo yatsa. Like we learned. Hafako v'takapo. If you reverse the shofar and you blew into it, lo yatsa. Now the Gemara is going to explain, what does this mean, you reverse the shofar? Amar papa lo tema dafche bichituna. You don't have to say the case talking about where you did it like you reverse a shirt when you wear it inside out, which means, don't think the case is only talking where you actually melted down the shofar and you reversed it, that you put the inside out. For sure, that case, you're not going to be yotze. Ela shirhiv et hakaser v'kaser et harachav. It's talking about where you heated the shofar up and you made the narrow part of the shofar wide, and you made the wide part narrow, and you blew the shofar now from the narrow part, which is originally wide. So it says lo yatsa. My tama. What's the reason? Kederav matna. The amar of matna. The matna says ve'ha'avarta. Derech ha'avarato ba'inan, which means the pasuk of ha'avarta shofar teruah, which means you should cause a shofar to pass. Now, why would the Torah refer to it as ha'avarta? Just say v'takata. You should blow the shofar. Means ha'avarta. So the Gemara says derech ha'avarato ba'inan, which means you need to blow the shofar in the manner that it was carried on the animal's head. Which means the way it grew. Since the way it grew, the narrow side is the narrow side, and the wide side is the wide. So you changed it by heating it up. It's not going to be kasher. So again, derech ha'avarato. It has to be the way it is, the way it passes me, the way it grows on the animal's head. Comes the Gemara and continues. Dibek shebre shofarot pasul. As we said, if the person joined the shards of different shofarot, it's unfit, like we learned, the rings, right? The shofar broke, and he just put like different rings, attached them together from different shofarot, so it's not going to be kasher. As she learned the psul over is because it's considered shteh shofarot. Comes the Gemara and continues, Tanu Rabbanan hosif alav kolshu. If you added even the slightest amount to the shofar by gluing it or welding it, so then already the deen is ben bimino, whether it's its own kind, meaning it's shofar pieces, ben shelo bimino, or you added pieces that are non-shofar substance items, so the deen is, it is going to be pasul. Again, because the addition is viewed as another shofar, and therefore the psul is going to be two shofarot. Now, Hadush is over here, even if it doesn't change the sound, as we're going to see now, still by adding these pieces to the shofar, it is going to be pasul. Comes again, what Aaron explains. Nikav ustamo. Let's say the shofar got punctured and you sealed it. Ben bimino, ben shelo bimino pasul. So again, according to this opinion, when you sealed it up and the sound changed, doesn't matter. It's pasul ben bimino. Even if it's its own type, part of the shofar was used as the sealant. Certainly, if it was not bimino, so therefore it's going to be pasul. Rabbi Natan says no bimino, kasher. Bimino is going to be kasher. Shelo bimino pasul. So Rabbi Natan is lenient over. He says that bimino is going to be kasher, even if the sound changed, and shelo bimino is going to be pasul. Now the Gemara explains, bimino kasher, that was we said, the bimino is kasher, Amar Rabbi Yohanan, v'hu shenishtayer rubo. So long as the majority of the shofar remained, and you're just plugging it up with the minority of mino. Okay, so again, the case of mino is to where the majority of the shofar is intact, and a little hole. So you took mino and you plugged it up, so we're going to say that that is kasher. Michlal implying, d'shelo b'mino, afal pi shenishtayer rubo pasul. Implying that what? In the case of shelo b'mino, that even if the majority of the shofar is intact, still it's going to be pasul. So that's that interpretation. Okay, comes out, according to this version of Yohanan's statement, you need three conditions in order for a shofar to be kasher, according to Rabbi Natan. First of all, you need a majority of the shofar to remain intact. Number two, you have to use mino. And number three, it's got to bring back the original sound. Because if the sound changes, it's going to be pasul. So again, so you need mino. You need the majority to remain intact, and the sound obviously has to be restored the way it was originally, which is a standard rule. No, it's got to remain like it was in the beginning. No change. Now, even if, like I said, if you didn't seal it, it would be kasher if it changed. But once you're adding a seal into it, now it's got to go back to what it was originally. So now the Gemara says, Ika dematnila asefa. Some learn the Yohanan statement on the sefa, which means shelo bimino pasul. That which you said what? That shelo bimino, that if you put a non-kind-like item to seal the shofar, it's pasul. Amar Yohanan, ve'ushin ifchat rubo. That's only if the majority of the shofar became missing. Which means, he's being lenient now. He's telling you that in the Shalom B'mino is only pasul if the majority is missing. However, if the minority is missing, you put Shalom B'mino, it's kasher. And now we're making an implication, Mechlal, to B'mino, if a pishin of chatrubo kasher. Now what? That by B'mino, even if the majority of the shofar is missing, and you sealed it up, it's kasher. So according to this, by B'mino, you have majority sealant. So long as it goes back to the original sound, it'll be kashir. And by shelo b'mino, even if it's majority of the shofar that is shelo b'mino, it comes. I'm sorry, by shelo b'mino, only if it's the minority, which is only if the majority of the shofar is intact, and you have a minority of shelo b'mino, it will be kashir. Okay, so that's the second statement of Rabbi Yohanan Kotri Ika de Matni, that Shelo b'mino is only pasul on Rubo. If Rubo is eno mino, but if it's mi'ut eno mino, kasher. But by mino, even Rubo is going to be kasher. So long as the sound, of course, comes back, that doesn't change. Now, the Gemara continues. Si pauza mebifnim. If you plated the shofar with gold on the inside, pasul. Okay, because we said obviously it interferes with the sound. If it's on the outside, it depends. Even if it changes from the sound that it was, so pasul. Let's say the shofar was split according to its length, pasul. It was split according to its width. So now it depends. Im nishtayir bo shi'ur tiki'a kasher v'im lav pasul. Which means, you take the where the crack is. If from the crack up to the hole where you're blowing the shofar, you have still the shi'ur of a shofar, it's going to be kasher. Which if you don't have the shi'ur of a shofar, from the crack up to where you're blowing, it's going to be pasul. And what's the shi'ur? So give up the kamba shi'ur tiki'a. What's the shi'ur of a tiki'a? So Pirish Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel Kedesh Yohazenu Biyadov Yirael Lekan Ulekan, where you can hold it in his hand and you still see a piece of the shofar protruding on both sides of his hand, which means the shi'ur is a tefach. So therefore again, by the crack that's done by the width of the shofar, you measure from the crack above, split it. Imagine you cut the rest of the shofar off where the crack is. So long as you have a tefach's worth of shofar, from that point on it is going to be kasher. If let's say the sound of the shofar was just a naturally thin sound, or ava, or a thick sound, or sarur, that a rough sound, kasher. Why? Shekol hakolot kasherin b'shofar. Because all sounds are kasher by shofar. Shalcho le'abu d'Shmuel. So they sent to the father of Shmuel the following ruling. Kedacho v'takapo. You made a hole in the horn of the shofar, and you blow that shofar, yatsa. We'll see. No, not when it's on the animal. You took the horn off the animal and you made a hole through the shofar itself. So it says yatsa. So the Gemara is a pshita. All shofarot, the narrow part is sealed up. So every shofar you have to bore a hole through the narrow part in order to blow it. Again, they sent a case to the Avu Shemuel. They sent the Mahalakha. If you bore a hole in the shofar, yatsa. So he said, Hazak Baruch, every shofar in the world, you have to bore a hole in the narrow piece of the shofar. The mouthpiece is not, there's not a hole in it.
No.
It's sealed up.
On the animal.
So therefore, you got to bore it. It's like douche. Says, Amar Av Asher, Shekedacho Bezachruto. Which means, the animal itself has a bone that protrudes out of it, and the shofar is in that bone. Mm-hmm. And then what they usually do is, they take the shofar, they separate it, they take out that bone in order to hollow the hole. Which is, again, there's a little hole, they call it the zechrut, little bone, and the shofar fits into that bone. So normally the way they hollow it out is they just take out the bone. Here, they hollowed the bone. They kept the bone inside the shofar. Right, there was a bone running through the entire shofar. Instead of taking it out, they just bore a hole through the hole itself. Oh, that is a hadush. I would have said that even though the bone itself is shofar-like material, I would have said maybe it's hatita. Kamashmalan, that what? That the since it's part of the shofar, it's meaning it's a piece of the shofar itself, it's of the same species, therefore it's not going to be chotzetz, therefore the anush is they bore a hole through the bone itself that was inside the shofar. Kamashmalan, that it is considered kashir, you have no problem. Comes the Gemara and says, the guy blows in the bore or he blows in the cistern, above ground cistern. Which means, the only ones that you have to worry about an echo, like we learned, are those standing outside the pit, because then they hear the echo. But those that are standing in the pit itself, they are yosef. So which means, Rav Huna is telling you, you can only really hear an echo when you're outside the pit. However, therefore, those are standing at the edge, so therefore, they're going to have to be careful. See, that's the Hadush in the Mishnah, which means inside the pit, you're automatic. Outside the pit, be cognizant. Did you hear shofar, or did you hear havara? It doesn't mean you automatically can hear havara. Just tell you, those that are standing outside, you potentially can hear the echo. Therefore, you're going to have to be aware, what did you hear? Did you hear echo or did you hear the shofar? Comes the Gemara and says, but those that are standing in the board itself, they indeed are yotzei. Tanya na mechem have a brightness before the tokeya, the tokabor, or the tokadut, yasa. The Gemara is, what do we have a Mishnah that says, if you blow in the pit, lo yatsa. So we answer like Rav Huna, inside and outside. When does it say you yotze? If you're inside the board. When does it say you're not yotze? If you are outside. Ika dirami lihu mirma. Some brought a contradiction between our Mishnah and the Braita. Like we just said, v'hatanya yatsa. That was the contradiction. Our Braita, Mishnah says, what if you blow in the board? Our Mishnah says what? Lo yatsa. But the Braita says, yatsa. How do you settle the contradiction? So the Gemara says, Amaravuna la kashya kan leotana omdim asefata bor. Kan leomdim babor. Same thing. Which means the Mishnah that says lo yatsa is talking about the people that are outside the board. And the Braita that says yatsa is talking about the people that are in the board. Which means we have contradictions between yatsa and lo yatsa on the board. And the way we'll answer it is the way we answered Rav Huna's Hiluk. That what? It depends if he was in the board or not. So look at 52, he explains it for you. In the first version, Rav Huna's statement was presented to explain our Mishnah, which means the Torah board and the yatsa and lo yatsa of the Mishnah. Rav Huna's Hiluk is in the Mishnah itself. That what? That in the board itself, yatsa, out of the board, lo yatsa. And then the Gemara shows a contradiction between somewhere else, right? Like in this case over here, we have a braita that says yatsa. So we'll explain it. The braita that says yatsa is talking about when he's in the board, and the Mishnah that says lo yatsa is out. So look at Rashi, Rashi says that. Ika derami lehu mirma. Yesh talmidim she'en shonim nad Rav Huna. Some did not have Rav Huna's statement to explain the Mishnah. They brought a contradiction from the Mishnah and the Braita. And Rav Huna is answering the Braita one way and the Mishnah another. So either you had Rav Huna's Hiluk in the Mishnah itself, or you had Rav Huna's Hiluk in the Mishnah and the Braita to answer a contradiction between why one case it says Yatsa, one case it says Lo Yatsa.